Welcome to Meeble Night, a podcast about board games past, present, and future, and the stories behind them. In today's episode, we review a top 100 game from Board Game Geek, a 2013 classic. In this corner, the review corner, Concordia, designed by Matt Gertz. I'm Andrew Caprell, and here's my co-host, Josh Knight.
Good evening, everyone. That's one way to introduce a game. Did you watch the USC fight last night or something?
No, I actually don't watch that many fights. I think the last time I saw a fight was at Buffalo Wild Wings in was like 2017 or something. It was a fighter. It was Conor McGregor versus I think one of the Mexican fighters.
Okay.
But I don't remember for sure.
I think it was that guy
who's like he's on that vegan show or whatever.
That helps. Yeah, that's like half people now in like social media are on the vegan. It's Joe Rogan or vegan stuff. I can't keep track of this. Yeah, there's only one good podcast out there.
Yeah, it's probably not this one, but
it's the secret cabal.
Oh, I forgot to check our comments. Speaking of great podcasts.
We do a good job.
Well, yeah, after hassling everybody and telling them that they're terrible and not commenting.
No. Well, how about this? Are you able to check it out while I give a little update of what's going on?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So I'm now a bachelor for 2 weeks. It's a welcome. No, this is wife and baby are heading out of town, and I'm living the dream. I told people it's probably a dated reference now, but the Tom Cruise movie Risky Business, when he's in his tidy whiteys and the socks and like sliding across the floor, it's like that's gonna be me. Except I might not even wear the underwear. I told that to somebody. They're like, "Please, dear God, close your blinds." But things other than that are going well. We went to a Texas barbecue spot here in town, which was fantastic. I love good barbecue, and I tell you what, this was fantastic. And they had a vinegar-based sauce, which is a North Carolina sauce, and it was delicious.
It's Texas.
Yeah. No, but that one was delicious. They had, it was fantastic. Texas
barbecue? Is it like that it's mostly cow or something instead of pig?
I guess. I don't know. I had pork and brisket.
The name is what makes it.
I think it's the type of mesquite smoke they do on it, if I had to guess.
Yeah.
But also, I think sides scream more Texas than the meat itself. And I'm probably going to get some haters about that. But the beans were fantastic. Again, you can't describe it. It's just one of those, if you put a plate of beans in front of you, you're like, these are Texas style beans. That's what it was.
Awesome, man. I think our lives might be on mirror right now.
Brisket.
Well, I did last weekend. My parents came into town, and we went to the what was it called? The Bodacious Pig.
Okay.
It's a place. It's only like a mile from here. We've gone there for burgers because there's not that many good burger joints, surprisingly. Okay. But I hadn't gone there for a barbecue yet. It was pretty good. We've had it catered actually, and that's why I didn't go there for a barbecue, because somebody catered it. And I mean, I think barbecue just probably doesn't cater that well when they live like 30 minutes from the place. I think it just sits and gets kind of weird. But I don't know.
I guess it depends. It depends on how good you are at catering. Because we catered barbecue for our wedding reception. The rehearsal dinner.
Yeah.
So we catered Mission Barbecue. They drove 45 minutes or whatever it was out of town to that little place we were at.
And they did it there though, right? Like they cooked there.
Nope.
No. Oh, they just brought it.
Literally brought the meats. Yeah. Huh. They brought everything and set it up and she left. It was easy peasy. Yeah.
Nice.
That would be cool if they smoked it on site. But then it would have been like, what's that cartoon? King of the Hill, like a bunch of guys would just been sitting up, yep, that's how you smoke some meat.
Yeah, that,
we just lost the other third of ours.
I'm guessing that's not how they would do it, but
you never know.
Yeah, they might. You know, I mean, there's a clientele for that, probably.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're interested in it, there's at least one.
Is that how many comments we got? Just one?
No, we have two comments this week. Yes. So, pleading does work. I felt like I was thinking about it as I was listening. It sounded like you see. Have you seen Little Rascals?
No,
the movie.
Not in a long time.
Oh yeah, sure. I mean, I haven't seen it in a long time either. But we've watched it so much as a kid that I have. But there's this, like, they're fundraising to rebuild their clubhouse, and he's just like, people, we need your money. Like, give it to us. Just give us your money. It's like, that's what it felt like when I was, it's like, I'm just getting it straight to the point.
That would be if we were telling people to hit and subscribe if we have YouTube or to join our Patreon and all this other like miscellaneous stuff. It's like, just talk, like, have a good time. Like, talk about board games, talk about life, talk about being a person. I don't care about this other activities.
But if you do want to buy from our partner brands, no. Yeah, we would appreciate you getting us a partner brand first so that you could then buy.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're not in Roback tonight, okay?
I'm not. I did it on purpose. I didn't want to be, you know.
Disappointed.
Told I only wear Roback, so.
Oh, and I'm drinking water because I'm dehydrated from eating that barbecue last night and golf today.
So we've lost all our sponsorships. Dang it.
I'd say we got to build it from the ground up.
Yeah, so our comments. Last week we asked, what are some of your recent plays and how would you rate them using the Meeple Knight scale?
Mm.
From Jeff, Baldur's Gate 3. I presume he's giving... I don't think he's giving Baldur's Gate a 3, but he might be giving Baldur's Gate a 3. Or he's saying Baldur's Gate 3.
I think he's saying... In parentheses, Baldur's Gate 3. Like, that's the Dungeons & Dragons. Like, that's
gotcha,
the
yeah. game. Oh, yeah, yes. If I continue reading, easily a Meeple Knight 5.
Ooh, wow.
He's waiting for the video game crossover episode.
I think we need some actually good video game crossovers.
Yeah. Right, we need Jeff to be on to do that.
Yeah.
Probably.
Okay, so that's what we'll do in June.
That's going to be his dream, yeah. That'll be the dream episode for Jeff.
Yeah, I'm trying to think about it. I don't know if I would have... There's usually... Intellectual property games, especially for video games, don't port over very well.
Yeah.
Slay the Spire is coming out, that they're shipping it as we speak. Like, I'm curious to see how that does.
Well, I don't think you liked it, but Dwarf Romantic won the Spiel, didn't it?
And yeah, that was a bunch of idiots voted on that. The game is boring as hell.
Man.
All right, what was the other comment?
Our other comment was from Veronica, or as her name appears in text, Veronica. I think there's, it doesn't it put like a accent on the I when you, the yeah, pos, yeah, used to do that when you. She, let's see, haven't recently played this one, but she's been wanting to play Sonora. Needle scale between a 3 and a 4, depending on her mood. Have you guys played it?
Yeah. We like it. She was actually upset yesterday.
That was the dexterity and right one or something, right?
Flick and right. Yeah, she was upset. She was going to bring it to the barbecue place last night because we went out and did a couple of bourbon tastings at some liquor stores, and then we stopped for dinner while the in-laws had the kiddo. So it was like our last date night before she left. And yeah, she was upset. As we're driving, she's like, I forgot Sonora. I was like, didn't know you were supposed to bring Sonora. Cool.
And specifically, she did say that all the different sections really scratch the itch. Actually multiple itches. So she's in.
Yeah, it fills the holes.
Didn't want to drop the link or not include the lingo.
Yeah, I think she was also texting you while we were listening to the last podcast together that I don't know how you put up with my horrible jokes and terrible dad jokes and everything.
You know, it takes one to know one.
Yeah, well, but what do you get? Or why shouldn't... oh, God, now I got to think about it. Son of a gun.
I forgot all my dad jokes. Yeah, yeah. Nicole sent me a picture because I'm terrible about checking my. I think it was an Instagram message.
What does a cigarette and a squirrel have in common?
I don't know.
You shouldn't put either in your mouth and light it on fire. I'll see myself out tonight.
Nailed it.
Nailed it.
All right, so fortunately I wasn't recording yet, so we can start over now without all those jokes.
That's good. Well, you want to start reviewing our first game in the rebirth?
It feels serious now. Now there's like a whole format and stuff that I actually got to do.
Yep. Now,
I do have it. Good. And I can do a little introduction if you want to, even.
Yeah, you do that, and then I'll do a very light rules explanation, because that's the feedback I've gotten from multiple listeners, that they fall asleep during my rules explanation. Like, I keep trying to get it, like, here's at least a chunk of the game, so you understand what the game is, without putting you to sleep.
Sure.
I think that's extremely hard. Yeah. So yeah. What's our template?
Maybe we could instead market our podcast not only as a board game podcast, but also a sleep aid podcast. And so we have an optional 10-minute rules explanation section that so if you're in the sleep aid profile, just go to the last 10 minutes.
Oh my goodness. It is Meeple Night. It's not Meeple Day.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like it fits the brand.
Unless you work nights and sleep during the day, then you're out of luck. Sorry, people.
Oh, man. All right. So, today we'll be reviewing Concordia, which is designed by Matt Gertz in 2013. I don't know who the publisher actually is for the U.S., but there's a few different publishers, but...
I don't know.
Concordia, straight from BGG first, is a peaceful strategy game of economic development in Roman times for 2 to 5 players aged 13 and up.
I just fall asleep.
set during the Roman Empire times, when the Romans ruled the lands around the Mediterranean seas. There's peace at the borders, harmony inside the provinces, uniform law, and a common currency. The economy thrives and gives rise to mighty Roman dynasties as they expanded through numerous cities. Players take on the role of one of these Roman dynasties and guide it by sending out colonists to the remote realms of the empire, developing your trade network and appeasing the ancient gods for their favor in order to emerge victorious.
Yeah, if that would put anybody to sleep. Goodness gracious.
Excuse me, that was not the rules teach. That doesn't put anyone to sleep.
I mean, I'm hoping our rules teach is actually less than that. The pressure's on me.
All right.
Well, so the first thing, like I said, we'll do this little overview. So essentially, you've got a board, depending on your player count, it can either be the Italy and its provinces, or it can be the entire Mediterranean. That's the base box. There's other expansions, which we can allude to. In this game, you've got a hand of cards. Each card has a specific action. So when you play the card, you would take said action, and it could allow you to move your meeple or your colonist or your naval vessel. And what you're trying to do is you're playing different cards in order to expand into the countryside, in order to get different resources. Resources are brick is the cheapest, then it's wheat, iron, wine, and cloth is the most expensive. So all you're trying to do is spread your forces by utilizing the cards, get as many colonists out as you can so you can get more provinces. You put the little buildings down to claim these areas. You gain resources, you sell resources, and you can actually buy more cards. More powerful cards are the ones that you already have in your hands or ones that are totally different. And you play this over a certain amount of time until enough provinces are done, and then you count up all the points. The end game is kind of confusing in this, but essentially each of those cards has a god, and you're going to score however many of those gods. So if you have 4 Mars cards, you're going to have 4 times whatever the Mars guy scores. Not going to get into the weeds of it, but that's a very, 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 very brief overview of what Concordia is.
Did you say you're not
getting... Is that fair? Did anybody fall asleep?
To the weeds of it or the wheat of it? Man, I just feel like you could have... You lost a really good opportunity there. See yourself
out. Okay, I thought my squirrel joke was bad. That's worse. That's it. Get out.
All right, so the format we used to do, which I think we'll probably stick to somewhat, after we did kind of the theme introduction and rules introduction, we'll do first impression and aesthetics, rules reference, theme and setting, gameplay, and then overall thoughts and score. Or art go, aesthetics, rules, theme,
gameplay, overall. No, this isn't the military. We don't need a bunch of acronyms.
Project Art Go, commence.
All right, so what's your first impression?
So, I mean, this is as lame as trading in the Mediterranean is. I love that theme anyways. I think it's just like the history buff in me. Like that's the era that I'm always interested in, the classical Rome and Greece. And okay. It kind of has that mosaic art style on the board, which I like. The cards don't have any of that really, and the board's it's not really that great a box art, but
the box art is hideous.
Yeah.
Like
Salsa's even worse if you've seen that expansion one.
I don't know. The picture of the girl in the white, I'm looking at it now, like the white toga, it looks like a fourth grader drew it.
By the time you get
doesn't have one eye.
The Venus expansion is better. At least that art. But
yeah, I mean, no offense, I can't draw, but this looks bad. I would take your kiddos' drawings over the art. Again.
Maybe slight exaggeration. But yeah, I mean, so I don't think this is anything. This is like classic Euro to me, right? 2013. Art was not the main drive back then.
No, it was gameplay. And I think this was one of Mac Gertz's first games.
Yeah, I mean, definitely his first hit. I don't know for sure. I can just see if I can find out. But
I thought just by looking at the components, I thought some of the wooden resources was a little confusing when I first opened it up. The cloth being just a square blue thing, like that was it. Mm. There was some of it that just kind of, obviously screen printed would have been nice, but that was 10 years ago. That's what we're doing now. It's fine. I think it's manageable.
Yeah.
Because I don't think the cost was that expensive. One first impression, which we've never mentioned this on any of the other reviews. I hate the box size.
Oh,
it's long and narrow.
Yeah.
Like skinny. It's weird. Yeah. It's stupid. I hate the box.
Yeah.
No, I don't know why that was chosen.
I agree with that. And even the, what is it called? Venus doesn't get any better. Venus is the same. I think it's thicker, but that's just because there's more stuff in it and it has room for you to put almost everything. I don't think you can fit all the maps in there, but if you kept one box for maps, this is not his first, by the way. This is like 7 or 8. Antique and Navigador are ones that are kind of classic Euro that haven't survived, but they were somewhat popular at the time.
Okay.
For
listeners, so Andrew mentioned Venus. Venus is an expansion, it includes two new scenarios, so two new maps.
Yeah.
It also includes team play variant and components for a 6-player. He mentioned Salsa, which is also some more maps. That one adds salt as a joker resource, and then it gives a bunch more cards. So just to fill in the gap there, or the hole.
Sorry about that. And for what it's worth, I didn't play with either of those. We own Venus. We didn't buy in until the Venus one came out, and we bought that. So you can buy the Venus version as a standalone. So it comes with the expansion and the base game built in. I think it might have a different map or something. But so we have 4 maps
Okay.
instead of 2.
So, but rules. I think rules on this game were actually pretty light.
Yeah.
And that's actually a compliment. It wasn't overly complicated. It, when you first look at it, I think you might feel, as a first impression, you might feel daunted. You might feel a little put off by it. Nothing is pulling you in aesthetically, but also you might see, oh, there's all these different actions. I might get befuddled by all this. But in fact, the rules are pretty light. It's only a handful of actions, and they're all in your hand. You have a card that tells you how to play. And if you have a question, everybody has the same cards. You can actually ask early in the game. So it's not one of those, ooh, I think I want to play this senator card. I don't know what that does. I can't ask anybody. You actually can, and that's okay. It's not the worst thing in the world. So I thought the rules actually benefited the game, helped the game.
Yeah, and I will say that I think it's easier to learn from. This is specifically easier to learn from somebody or watching as opposed to reading. I don't know what the rules were like. Do you have the base game? Mm-hmm. Or the Venus, or you don't have the Venus standalone version.
No, I just have base game.
The rules that come with that were terrible. It's basically like one paragraph, and I was like, okay, I'm ready to play the game. Like, that's perfect for Andrew. Andrew's like, yeah, I'm ready to go. Yeah.
And then it doesn't read rules.
And then we started playing, and basically the whole first game we played didn't matter. Yeah. It shouldn't have counted because we just came up with so many things as we went, like, oh, we didn't know that. Oh, we didn't realize that. But I would say that in general, anyways, for this game, the first one, the first play, just because scoring is a little bit weird. I don't want to touch on it too much yet, but scoring makes it so that I felt like this takes one practice play.
Yeah.
Minimum.
That's fair. The one thing, so I used to say how I learned the game, so a YouTube video, Knights Around the Table, is a guy that does a fantastic job. That's how we learned it, and I thought that was a good resource. There's probably plenty of others out there, but I would not specifically highlight his. His was good.
Yeah.
All right. Theme and setting, you already mentioned it a little bit. So trading around the Mediterranean, it's something that you don't see that often anymore.
Yeah, everybody's getting away from it, doing all these like little creatures and space and just want to get back to trading in the Mediterranean.
Well, then there was one board game designer. He decided to literally make a game called Trading in the Mediterranean. Oh, really? To be facetious.
That's funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think this game really has like the only thing that is theme in this game to me is the art. And that's barely, like, the style, I would say. Because you could change any of it. It has no tie to anything. And in fact, he has, in multiple different games. Transatlantic is Matt Gertz as well. And it's rebranded, same kind of game.
Yeah.
I mean...
bland.
Yeah. It's not like any of the actions that you do... really correspond to anything. Like, I guess Mercator, I'll be generous. there's a card called Mercator, which is going to the market to sell your
goods. Ooh, that's a lot of theme.
Really thematic. Oof.
Hold on to your britches.
This doesn't feel super thematic. This feels like pure resource management and hand management.
Also, the categories on Board Game Geek is ancient, economic, nautical. Yeah. Well, so that's fair, them just trying to put something.
Oh, look, to be fair,
you can make anything. You can fit anything in these holes. Goodness gracious.
You have ship colonists and walking colonists.
No, get out of here. All right, so mechanisms. This is officially what Board Game Geek listed as. Open drafting, point-to-point movement, set collection, variable setup, in-game bonuses. Can't forget that. Hand management, auction Dutch. Not another Swedish.
What?
I don't know
what auction Dutch is. How is this an auction game?
I don't know. Action retrieval and advantage token. I swear to God, whoever puts these mechanisms on Board Game Geek, they're just grabbing anything.
Hand management. Yeah. I'll give that. Set collection, kind of. In like the way you score is kind of a set collection.
Yes. That's it. That's the only two.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do anything else. So mechanisms is utilizing the cards in order to move your colonists or, you know, buy more cards, whatever it might be. I don't the mechanism is it's literally just hand management in my mind.
Yeah, I mean, for those that were around for season one, that the game that we reviewed that's kind of most similar to this would be Aquatica, where you have a set of cards in your hand that you're just using to either buy other cards from the market or move around the map and build buildings on the map, and then use that to generate resources to then buy more cards and do more of that. Which I sound like that's. Like, I didn't sound very excited when I said that, but I did. I was excited while, like, I don't know. I still like it while I was playing the game. I liked puzzling through it because a lot of the puzzle in this is not actually it's efficiency, right? It is what this game is about, trying to figure out the way to generate your resources and points in the least amount of turns, because it can be a speed game once you're once you get going, because there's really only what anytime we play, there's only 4 or 5 rounds. I think we might have had 6 rounds the first game, right? But a round is a loose time, right? Round just being c collecting your cards again.
That's really fast.
I think, well, so we got to the point that you would put a colonist out every time that you, right? Like, and so the game would end and I would have a colonist left over sometimes. And so I know that it was only 5 rounds because I didn't play enough. So every time you pull your cards in, you have a chance to put another person out on the board, and you have to pay a certain number of resources in order to do that. But like, that's part of the efficiency game, right? The first time you play the game, you might not realize that. And then the second time you play the game, you know, there's no, you can't not do that every turn. So you have to plan your turns out, and that's kind of, I guess, kind of leading into the flow of the game. I think that's makes the game feel fast for me, is that I'm not generally thinking about what I'm going to do right now. I'm thinking a couple turns ahead, because no turn is that big. Like, this isn't a big combo turn game.
No.
So
It's quick, snappy turns.
yeah.
Play this, do this. All right, done. Your turn can be 30 seconds.
Yeah, and that's what I like about it, is that there's you have to be thinking multiple steps ahead. Yeah, and I mean, I think that I don't know what was the length of the game for you guys generally.
Well, there's the spoiler. We never played it.
Oh, okay.
Veronica looked
Spoiler
at it.
alert! I haven't played it at all.
I played it solo a couple
Just
times,
kidding.
but she never had any interest. We tried
Okay.
multiple times. We've tried over the last 3 weeks to get it played. We actually watched the rules video twice, and she was like, I don't have much interest in this. I couldn't get her to play it.
Yeah, it's
Yeah.
all good.
Like
Yeah, I
that was
mean,
one of those that I would try to like gleam, okay, what don't you like about this? And she's like, it's bland, it's boring.
yeah.
That's what she would tell me. Okay. Like that's helpful information, right?
Yeah.
Because if we're playing with our spouse, and maybe, I mean, not everybody can be like your wife, but some people are like the ones that, yeah, I'll play with you because I enjoy spending time with you, not necessarily because I like the game, I like the puzzle or whatever.
Yeah.
So that's a testament. So the flow for her was zero
Yeah.
because she just didn't
Yeah,
have any
yeah.
interest in it.
No, I mean, that goes back kind of to the aesthetics, right? Or even the theme, that this is n not some interesting creative theme. This is just kind of a standard theme. Ancient Rome was like one of the bread and butters, right?
For
And
classic board games, but we had
yeah.
just come off of Five Tribes and we
Right.
played Dice Town. We
Yeah.
love those.
Yeah.
And it
And
was
this
one of
isn't
those types.
colorful. This isn't right. Yeah. No, I get
It's
it.
not a push or luck.
Yeah. Well,
It didn't fit for her, so
then
yeah.
for us, when we started, our first game was like 75 to maybe it's 90 minutes, including teach, probably 90 minutes. But the last time we played was about 45 minutes. And so if you, that's what I mean. Like, if I felt like if you knew what you were doing, it just kind of sped along. And it the also the first time we played, we didn't realize that every colonist out could build. We thought only one colonist could build at a time. So that also is why the game was longer. Once we realized that, it's just like the game escalates so fast. And that, I don't know, we liked that. I guess that kind of goes into the flow as well, but the game feels like it builds, right? Yeah. Because at the beginning, you can't really do too much. There's really even only two plays, I feel like, out the gate.
Move.
Yeah.
That's it. And what has the juiciest spot? Move. Right.
Yeah, and then build there. Yeah. And then from there, you'll either trade stuff in or you'll do the whatever. I think it's the senator action is what it's called, where you generate resources. But yeah, yep. But then by the end of the game, when you do a move and build, you're building in five or six places, and like all you have this 12 resources that just go, they're gone. Yeah. And I don't know, it just feels really good.
Although your player board can only hold 8.
I think it's
resources.
Yeah, but it's 12 once the colonists are gone, I think.
Oh, is it? Okay, I didn't do the actual math.
Yeah, I think it's 8 at the beginning of the game, and then as the colonists leave, there's 4, right?
It's 12. You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually thought that was an interesting one. So you have the storage for all those resources slash your colonists are considered resources. I thought that was a cool way of doing it.
Yeah.
So that way when you kill people off.
Yeah.
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 So again, it's forcing you get those colonists out so you can store more things, and then the colonists can actually get you more resources to be stored and all that. I thought that was good. The solo game you play, so that came out in Concordia Solitaria or whatever the name of that one was. That was pretty easy to run. The only catch, the kind of frustrating, there's one card in the base game where you can copy somebody else's action, which can be super powerful when you're playing against a human player. But you couldn't copy specific actions of the AI, of the bot. And that was one of those, if they had just played a really super card, you couldn't copy that card. That was a little bit of a letdown. The flow of the game, it was easy to run the AI. However, the game did drag on a little bit longer than it sounds like you and Nicole experienced. Ours was probably, like an AI game was 60 minutes or so. And at that point, I was getting bored. If it was 45 minutes, I would have been a lot happier.
Yeah.
So I didn't care for that as much.
Yeah, and you have to manage more than, right? Like, I guess I don't know. For Solitaria, the solo version, did you have to manage anything? Like, do you move their stuff around and exchange resources? Yep. Like, they're a second player, right? Yeah.
Yep.
Which,
you're still doing all that.
Yeah.
That's what I do when I play solo anyways.
No, I know. But like that adds to the length of the game, right? So like for me, there's a second person doing all of that stuff, so I don't have to do the admin for Nicole's turns, right? And so
I will say it wasn't a heavy like algorithm in order to figure out, oh, they have to do this, oh, they can't do that, so then they do this. It was pretty easy to figure out where they were gonna go, but it was also better for me because I could telegraph what their actions are going to be.
Yeah, wasn't it like there's, you play a card and then based on what you play, they do something. So like the tightness is in you deciding, is now a good time for me to let them do this?
Yeah, because if I play one of my super powerful cards, it has a super powerful action that they get to replicate, of my card. So like, do I really want them to have that ability right now? Yes, because my action will outweigh what they're going to attain.
Which is fine. I mean, that still kind of goes into that efficiencies game, I think. Like it's a similar mindset anyways for that game. Yeah. Fits the mold.
Fits the hole.
All right.
Replayability.
Oh, okay.
Oh, fun. Oh, yeah, you're right. Fun. My bad.
All good.
Is it fun?
I mean, for me, it was fun. I like going through that, like I said, that efficiency and figuring out what is the best way to do this. And I like doing it at a high speed. I don't like doing it. So, I mean, efficiency, but not like, I don't know. I don't like finding the 100% most efficient AP style, but like getting 85 to 90% efficiency because the turns are 30 seconds to a minute.
Yeah.
I had fun. I still want to play this some more. I will say there is a big difference. We haven't talked about this yet in the maps. When we played, the Cyprus map was way better for us at two player. And so like for anybody that is interested, you do need to find or like look at what the right map is for your player count. I think I didn't, I kind of discounted that, but the getting that smaller, tighter map forced us to have to build into each other's cities. Whereas if we played on the regular Imperium map, we kind of just both went our separate ways and did our own thing. And that is just a whole different game.
Cyprus looks like it's actually bigger. There's more provinces. There's more places to build.
Yeah. Maybe there is. Maybe we
in
just
the base game. Then base
maybe
game
we
Italy.
Just played it different.
Yeah.
Wait, base game Italy? We played the Imperium.
Base game Italy is 2 to 3 players, and then Mediterranean is 3 to 5 players.
Yeah, so we played the whole Mediterranean for the first couple, and then we played the Cyprus map. And so we haven't played Italy map. Yeah.
Gotcha.
So that would probably be even better.
For me, the fun aspect is it's sort of there. I like the puzzling of the resources. The one thing I didn't like is the money. I felt like money was harder to come by, and that is actually not something that you store on your player board, that you can have limitless amount of money. But trying to balance how much money, because you need money to buy put the provinces down, and I just got stuck multiple times that I needed like an extra coin. Just
and then
one
you feel
coin.
Like you have a wasted turn for the...
Yep.
Yeah.
It happened multiple times. Like, oh, I got 2 things of wine. Great. I can sell those for $6 each. And then I can buy 2 brick, which are cheaper. And then I have 5 coins left over. Oh, man, I needed 6 for my next turn. I'm stuck. So, like, that was some frustrating stuff that I know the math is there. And it's made to be frustrating if you don't optimize the puzzle. But multiple turns, I either had to completely redo what I wanted to do, or I just had a dead turn.
Yeah.
That's not as fun.
Yeah. No, that's fair. And I agree. That definitely happens.
It happens in other games too.
Yeah, yeah.
But this game I felt, because I did play it 3 times back to back to back over short succession. It happened multiple times. I didn't, it wasn't like I wasn't learning from my mistakes. It was just one of those, it's how the game worked. I kept seeing those ones. I was like, damn it, I'm just one off. I need 1 coin.
Yeah.
It was one. It wasn't like, oh, I'm 2 off. Okay, well, I made a mistake. I was 1 off.
Yeah.
And I don't do the... Veronica would say, oh, I'll just cheat. It's fine. No, I'm not cheating. So fun value kind of dropped down a little bit in that regard.
Yeah, that's fine. And I mean, this is not... Oh, man. I don't know. Like, this isn't over the top 5 fun, right? Like, this isn't like a... I don't know. Paladins or... I don't know. It scratches itches for me, but it's not like... top of the charts.
We got to redo our scale. Before we get into the scale, though, the replayability is extremely high. We've already alluded to it. Multiple maps. There's so many different things. They keep coming out with more and more maps. I think you can literally just buy a map.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Like that's an expansion. It's a single map.
Yeah. There's at least 2 that are like that. There's an Egypt one and a Gaul one.
Yeah. But, so you can... This game is limitless.
It got the ticket to ride.
That's what you like. It did, which is also pathetic. They're driving that into the ground. It gets old, man.
Yeah. I think they did a lot in the beginning, and then there was a long pause until the Venus came out, and then Solitaria came out as well, which I think was good. I did want to try that co-op version, but we just didn't end up getting time to get to it. It felt like the competitive game is pretty good and something we're comfortable with. So I guess I didn't feel like we needed it. Like, there are certain games where I'll feel like I like this a lot, but I wish there was a co-op version that just felt like we could work together. But this doesn't have a lot of mean-spirited take that. I don't think so.
I don't know if Nicole would want to be cooperative. She's... I don't think that's in her nature.
The team game might be good, you know? Then she can co-op, but competitively.
Yeah.
I don't know that... I don't know where else we would talk about it other than in here. General likelihood to play again is pretty high for me. I still want to play this again. I don't know if it'll get priority to get played again before we move, but I do like it. But the team play, I don't know. if I will ever play the team play mode, because I just don't.
Yeah.
I don't know that I could find a set of people that I want to play this with, like six people, right? Teams of three or teams of four. Like
I think you could do teams of two.
Yeah, that's what I meant to say. Sorry. And yeah, but I just,
I don't know.
Not that this is a heavy game, but like a medium board game is not something I've ever really thought that I really wish I could play in a team format.
I'd be okay with something like Memoir 44,
yeah,
like a war style game,
yeah,
with some luck, so that like you're on the edge of the seat. Oh my god, what's gonna happen? Right. What's gonna happen? But this, oh, we're trading in the Mediterranean.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah.
No.
And like, yeah, I mean, like trick taking games are fun because of that, right? There's that element of luck, and this is everything's on the table, and yeah. So I don't know that. I don't know. It's a weird sell for me, but. But I have it in case I ever decide I want to do it one day.
Yeah. Before we get into scoring, do you want to mention the actual in-game scoring? You said you'd mention it later. We could have done it in mechanisms.
So, yeah. So the end-game scoring, every point that you get in this game is at the end of the game. You can do there's a optional scoring, a variant, where you score halfway through or like at the end of everybody taking their cards back the first time or something.
Just to give everyone a chance to see, hey, this is how things will score at the end of the game.
Yeah, and it's not that you take that score all back and go to zero at the end. It's just so you can see. That's probably a good idea on your first game, because that's one thing in the early plays of this game, I got really focused on, oh, what does this card do? And like, how does this interact on my chain or engine within my hand while I'm playing? Which was a little bit of a mistake, because really you need to be looking at how does this score my engine at the end of the game? Not how, because there's not that much engine buildup really in the game. And so you really need to think about how you're building onto the board. And then the cards all have a scoring mechanism at the bottom, like Josh mentioned, that if you get four cards that have Mars on the bottom, then Mars scores however many 2 points per colonist you have out on the board. So if you get a bunch of Mars cards, then you know this is how I want to drive my engine to get every colonist out. And so I think that was kind of a learning point for me, that rather than develop my engine around the actions, I would develop it around the first couple cards that I grabbed for scoring purposes.
Yep. I actually like that.
Yeah. And yeah, it's cool. I mean, it's a neat concept.
Yeah, because it forces you to play differently. Each time you can't just say, because I remember there was one card that I got in the first game that I scored for every wine. I got a bunch of wines. I scored a bunch of points. But as a reference, I beat the AI all three times, and I beat them by over 100 points all three times, and I had three different strategies.
Yeah.
Like, I played very differently, and that was because of how those cards came out. But the multiplier in cards, I got to take more advantage of it, and I think you can actually, especially with AI, you can decide which cards go to your opponent. So I knew which cards he was getting fed, and I was making sure it was just a broad smattering of them all. Yeah. Like, I think there's eight different cards. Made sure he got eight different cards or whatever it was. So he couldn't get these massive multipliers while I could.
Yeah, right. Whereas you want to get four or five of a certain card and just really hunker down on that. I mean, maybe...
Yep.
And that might be wrong. I have not played this, I mean, but like five or six times. So I don't know the perfect strategy to this game. From limited experience, that's with only one opponent who I've ever played against.
I played against zero opponents.
That's what I won every time. The best strategy.
I played against myself and I always won.
How do we score things here
at Meeple Night? We talk about holes and filling the cavities and scratching the itches, but how do we actually score?
All right, we have a 5-point scale here on Meeple Night, from 1 being not fun to 5 being an amazing game, among my favorites, must own it. Do you want me to go over? I guess it's been a while. So a 2 is game is okay, not likely to hit the table. 3 is a good game worth playing in the right situation. And 4 is a great game, almost always willing to play, need to have access to it. I have to end on 5. 4 doesn't make any sense. 5 is an amazing game, among my favorites, must own it.
Must
own it, precious. Yeah, so, and I think some of our wording may have changed over time, right? Because I think one of them you disagree with what I have written down.
Yeah, I put 2 as situational.
Yeah. So we disagree on what a 2 and a 3 is.
Yeah, which is fine.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like we are greater than 2 away on this one.
I think so as well. Greater than 2 away. Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, this is not a 5 for me.
Oh, well, never mind. It's a 2 away. So I looking at the game, I give this a 2. I think it's fine. I think it's shown its age, especially as a gamer who came into the hobby late. So I started playing games with you, early 2019?
Yeah,
18, like that. 19, yeah. 18, 19, somewhere in that ballpark. But still, that's 6 years after this game came out. Yeah. And a lot of things can happen in 6 years, including much better games came out. It's fine. This isn't something like, sometimes when you go back to a classic, you realize it's a classic for a reason. I want to show Veronica Casablanca. That movie's fantastic. I love Casablanca. You know what I don't love? Any other movie in 1942 that's not named Casablanca. They've showed their age. I don't care. I don't want to see that stuff. And unfortunately, that's how I feel with this. I can feel some vibes with it. I like what they're doing with it. But this is one of those that I'm glad other games have come along and have picked the carcass of Concordia and used the mechanisms into an actual better game. Like
Aquatica.
I was going to say Cascadia, but Aquatica. Like there's Cascadia. Other better games.
They're both games, for example.
They're both games with a C.
Cardboard.
It's fine. Concordia is fine. I'm glad it exists. I'm glad I played it. But I think it's one of those, if I had been in the hobby for longer, or if this was more my jam theme-wise, which is no theme, maybe I'd like it more. But I need a little bit more juice there. I'm a superficial gamer. I needed something else. It's just
First. You heard it here first.
I upgrade all my components. I like pretty stuff.
Yeah,
like, I like that. This game lacks all of it. It's here's some beige.
It has wooden resources.
Here's some cardboard the tokens. Here's some wooden resources that you have to hallucinate what some of them are. What the hell is a blue square? How is that cloth? It's fine.
Oh man,
it's a 2. Like I'll play it. If we play this, if you pull it out at Origins, I'll play it. It's not my jam.
Yeah. No. Yeah. So I mean, this is a 4 for me. Great game. Definitely always willing to play it. And I do agree that I needed to have access to it. I did. I mean, our friend James had it. That was how we played it. And so that was why I bought it. And by saying I do agree, I mean I do agree with the statement that is a score of 4. So, you know, I feel solidly in the 4 camp.
And that's fine.
For me, yeah, like the things that bring it down to, I mean, maybe not bring it, not alone bring it down to a 2, but that keep it from being a 5 are the aesthetics and the art, like not being anything really special to look at. This is definitely, I agree, it has shown its age. But to me, what I do like about a lot of the classics, at least from this era in the 2010 to 15 range, the early 2010s, is that there was a lot of simplicity in the rules, right? And so, I can remember 75 to 80% of these kinds of games and get them back to the table a lot more easily. And still have a crunchy, enjoyable thought process. Like, it's definitely not the case for all games. There are plenty of modern games that also scratch this itch as well. but when you are active, so the difference is I came in around 2015 is when we started playing games. And so these were the ones that were like the classic of the modern time that I knew I needed to play and wanted to play. And whereas now when the new stuff comes out, I feel like I have to search through more stuff, right? Like newer stuff that comes out is not already selected as this was a good one of the time. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if I'm saying what I want to say, but I said it. So
I can't disagree with you. That's just it. There's nothing about what you've said is wrong. It's just plan. This is,
and it's how just, much that matters to you, right? Yeah. It's ultimately, I think, the difference.
Yeah, and that's okay.
And you've also played a lot more of the modern stuff than I have, so I just haven't been spoiled by that, right? I talked to my brother about that for video games because he plays a bunch of video games and I don't really. And he was talking about how, I don't even remember what it was. It's like Dark Souls or something, you know, something from probably a decade ago, and how it's like not really that good, and it shows its age. And I'm like, I see Dark Souls, and I'm like, this is amazing, because I haven't played anything hardly since 2012, other than like Nintendo Switch games, which I mean are good, but they're not jaw dropping graphic blockbuster stuff, right? So I think it's that similar, I don't know, thing.
Yeah, that's why I like describing it like movies. There's nothing wrong with an old-time movie, right? There's Titanic came out in 1997. Titanic was still a good movie, even to this day. It's a good movie. It stood the test of time and deserves its accolades. I mean, heck, Avatar, you know, same director. That came 10 years ago, more than 10 years ago. First Avengers, like all these kind of movies. They're a long time. Now, those two movies don't deserve to stand with Titanic, but like they've stood the test of time over the years. There hasn't been a significant change. This game has.
Yeah.
There's been ones that have just blown it out of the water.
Right.
Even if it is the same trading in the Mediterranean, there's still some games that are coming out there like that. There's nothing wrong with it. There's just got to be a pizzazz. It's got to be something to it. This is just simple. And sometimes you want simple, and there's nothing wrong with that. But after a couple of plays, I'm like, well, I'm good. Other than changing up the map, you're still doing the same trade. Yeah. It's fine. That's why I say, I think it's, for me as a two, it's situational. I think if I hadn't played in a couple of years. Are you
claiming that Spanish wheat is the same as Turkish wheat? Because they are.
They're just the exact same wooden stupid token. Ugh. It's fine. There's nothing wrong with it. I'm glad it exists. It's not the worst game in the world. Yeah. It's not Paleo, because I always have to mention Paleo in the episode.
I'll never have to hear about how bad this game is anymore, because it blends in with other twos. So.
Yeah, it's fine. It's a blend. It's a wheat blend.
All right. So what do you say that gives? Do we average our scores, or do we add them together?
And we used to say it gives it a Meeple Knight score of a 6.
Six. We would
add them together, but I don't know why.
Which is an average of 3. And if you
most games get an average of 3, that's
a 9.
Wait, oh my god,
27.
Yeah, get out of here.
That was embarrassing.
Jesus, Ava knows math better than you. Well, listeners, thanks for listening. Hopefully, that was we want to do reviews because it forces us to be more analytical with our game processes. I know sometimes they're not as witty and funny and us jerking back and forth. And yes, I definitely paused on that one. But
lots of jerking back and forth in normal episodes, but not in this one.
No, in this one. But we wanted to kind of push ourselves to be better board gamers, and these reviews like this is one way of doing it, and hopefully it gives you a sense of what we appreciate in games and how we have evolved into the gamers we are today, and how we can continue to evolve to like better games than Trading in the Mediterranean.
Oh man.
Yeah.
I feel like that was one of those what do you call them, not a humble brag, but like one of those things where I just got put down, but but it was said eloquently.
Yeah, you're welcome. Don't worry.
Some of us are doing reviews to try and evolve as gamers, so we don't like simple games like this.
Yep.
And then others of us also exist.
And that's okay. But Listeners, hopefully awesome. You enjoyed it. Well, actually, next episode, we're going to look back at some of the games we covered in the first phase, and we'll talk about them, how those numbers maybe have changed. We'll kind of mention them in this new kind of fun abbreviated format just quickly and tell you how our opinions have changed on those too, or haven't changed.
I love it. That's fine. Abbreviated 1 hour format.
Yeah. Well, Concordia, I mean, that takes as long to play this game as we did to review it.
That's true. I think, well,
which is a testament to the game itself.
It's just a more relaxed format, right?
Yeah. We're not structured. Like, I didn't take notes.
We're not like hammering through, jerking through all the situations.
God. Okay, that's it. What's our outro?
Oh, man. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll see you in a fortnight. I'm going to get it one of these times.
You can reach out to us on our social media accounts, a.k.a. through Spotify questionnaire, whatever the hell you're doing. But yeah, we appreciate you.
I should really just listen to an old episode so that I can know the outro. All right.
No.
Yep, sorry. Good night. And
good luck.
Good luck. Thanks for listening to Meeple Night. Today's episode was recorded on March 10th, 2024 and uploaded using Riverside FM and Anchor. Our theme music is All Night by Declan DP, provided by Audio Library Plus, which provides free and safe music for content creators. For all the latest from Meeple Night, follow us on Instagram. Join our Facebook group or email us at meeplenightpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back in 2 weeks. So until then, dream a little dream of games.